Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Bart Winkler. Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show. Carlos Ortiz alongside. We've got Marco Belletti on the updates. We've got plenty to get into. Monday was a very NFL draft heavy show. We covered a lot on the NFL draft. Tuesday was a very NBA playoffs heavy show. Specifically, me emoting about the Milwaukee Bucks and what may happen with Giannis Antetokounmpo. Tonight is going to be a nice little old combination of the two, plus some hockey, plus some baseball. So we're excited to have you guys here throughout the country, throughout the continent, United States, Canada, and beyond on the Sirius XM channel 375 on your local affiliate of choice and on the Odyssey app, free to download, free to listen to. If you are ever listening to the show for free and you think, how am I getting this for free? I've got to pay somebody. It's free. I don't know what to tell you. It's free. On an unrelated note, my Venmo is at Winkler Bart. My Venmo is at Winkler Bart. On an unrelated, completely unrelated note, just because there may be one guy listening that still owes me $600 for winning a fantasy league. It was a dynasty league. I won it. And he just kind of quit the league and pretended like he didn't even give me my money back. I still think about this all the time. He thinks it's scot-free. This was 8 years ago. I still think about you every day. You owe me $600. At minimum, you owe me the $75 entry fee that you just then kept. Like, at minimum, give me that back. And I would say with interest. So, with interest, if I just charge you the $75 with interest, carry the one, you owe me $600. So, pay me. One of the guys I had on my team that year was a young Giannis Antetokounmpo, and I was very excited that the Milwaukee Bucks had this player that was quite possibly a future MVP. And as you saw over the years, he became a multiple MVP, including a finals MVP and recently an NBA Cup champion. Now, the Bucks lost last night to the Pacers, and I've had 24 hours to think about it. I think last night I was in a spot where, you know, I was bummed about, as a Bucks fan, I was bummed about the game. But also, realistically, now I do see this is the opportunity for a lot of people to discuss, which has been a big topic today, the future of the Milwaukee Bucks and the future of Giannis Antetokounmpo. This is a guy that people have thought could leave Milwaukee at any time for the past 11 years. He has not. He has signed three separate extensions to remain in Milwaukee. I just got 2 cents from Charles, and somebody named Cody requested $5 from me. I am going to decline that, and I will reimburse Charles. Thank you. Or whatever I collect, I'll start the Carlos Ortiz Foundation. And give money to Carlos. The $5 said, listening to you whine, you owe me money. Well done. All right, I'm putting my phone down. Well done. Well done. Well done. Good job. Giannis Antetokounmpo's future in Milwaukee, I do think, finally, is something that if people want to talk about it, they can. All of the conversations that have been had about Giannis leaving, LA, Miami, trade, demand out. It's all been a waste of time. It's just all been stupid and pointless and nonsensical because it's never been based in anything other than wish casting and fanficking. That's all it's been. Now, it's different. Because now, the Milwaukee Bucks, for years, after trying to build a winner around Giannis and using a lot of their resources to continue to bring pieces in, the well has run dry. They are out of resources. They don't have control of their draft pick until 2031, their first rounder. They don't have a lot of movable pieces on their team that would be an attractive contract for somebody else. Kyle Kuzma's sitting there with a $20 million tab. Nobody wants that. And then the other guy they're paying that's not Giannis is Damian Lillard, and he's going to be rehabbing while collecting $56 million from the Milwaukee Bucks. So basically, they have Giannis on an island, and with no resources, they have to try to build a winner around him. Last night, I thought we were about 51-49. See, Giannis has said for a long time that he wants to stay in Milwaukee, that loyalty's in his DNA, and I believe him. I don't know if he gets to some point where the writing's on the wall. It feels like this is, for the first time, the writing's actually on the wall. Like, the Bucks need to make a decision if they think this is the best course of action, and Giannis needs to make a decision. If he wants to win, he's got to realize that it probably can't happen in Milwaukee. I mean, he can't go out there 1-on-5 and get this thing done. Now, they'll sleep on it. They'll talk about it. They'll have discussions. There were a lot of reports about Giannis sitting down with the Bucks today to talk about the future. That's what's called an exit meeting. But perhaps the Bucks do find a way, and Giannis convinces himself that this is where I want to be. That having the ball and having more control of the offense that he did when Dame went out is something that they want to build around. Get a new coach to Milwaukee. Get a new surrounding cast. Play a new style of basketball. Maybe you have a guy like Michael Malone who just coached a team built around one superstar and found the exact right pieces to put there. Maybe he or somebody else can come to Milwaukee and coach this next era of Bucks basketball, this next era of Giannis Antetokounmpo basketball. I think if they do that, there is a chance of a championship once again in Milwaukee. I also think that you wouldn't see the fruits of that labor for another 5-6 years. So is Giannis going to want to sign up willingly to lose and maybe make the playoffs, a couple of play-in tournaments, you know, put up enough stats where he'll win another MVP? If it's just Giannis out there averaging 35, 15, and 10, he'll win an MVP. If he's got nobody on his team. So what do you do? I found this interesting. Carmelo Anthony last night on the podcast, 7 p.m. in Brooklyn, was talking about this and thinking, well, what do? You want to rebuild, but the best thing for Giannis is to be on a team that is Giannis-driven. You don't want to go to somebody else's team. You need to be the guy on your team. Does that place exist? And if you're the Bucks, why would you give up this once-in-a-generation talent?
We're always so quick to question, is his time up? Where should he go? I just think, where? Where's he going to go? Like, what is his fit? You ain't just going from leading and having the ball in your hands and scoring 50s to go having a singular role.
Right.
Whoever gets him, you bring him there for that, for what we're seeing from Milwaukee.
Yeah.
So you got to have pieces that actually fit around him. That's why I'm asking what situation.
If you could just wave a magic wand to be like, yo, it would be dope to see Giannis here, just in case it doesn't work out, just in case it's time to leave. What would that place be for you?
Unless you go young. Unless you go on the team out with LaMelo Ball or somebody.
So Charlotte is a destination for you?
I don't think no place is a destination for him. He got to get people to him.
You don't trade players like Giannis. Like, you say that.
Nah, you build around that. And the more that you see that he needs help, you go get that help that he needs. You don't just give up on that. Me understanding Giannis' mentality, he want to win.
Yeah.
So he's not going to go to no, not a loser situation, but a rebuild.
Right, right.
As long as you have Giannis, you got to build around him to compete and win. And if you just let that go, then you... up. We've never seen a Giannis before. We've seen 6'9", 6'10", 6'11", guys. A lot of them was one-dimensional. We haven't seen that from Giannis.
Right.
At that position, you don't just get rid of that. You figure that out. If you
So, well, I'll let it play out, and then there's fun little music. I was trying to hear.
You want the easy way out, then you get rid of
them. Yeah, okay. I was trying to sneakily get out before the end the tag of their video, but... You know, you can't all be winners here. So that's the question that the Milwaukee Bucks have in front of them. What do they do with Giannis? Last night I was about 51-49 thinking that they will, in fact, trade him. Today I'm about 85-15 that they don't. I feel like the Bucks are an ownership and the team. Like, they've built themselves around Giannis. They're not going to want to give that up unless he asked to leave. And I think Giannis might be too stubborn and too... try hard to think, no, I can accomplish it here in Milwaukee. I do want to play with Dame again, even though he's going to miss all of next season. I like what we were building. I want to get back to that. I want to stay here so that I can play with a guy who's blown out his Achilles at age 37 in 2 years. So I think there's a little bit of stubbornness both ways, but that will certainly be an interesting story until there's some clarity there. And may I say this, too. If the Bucks do not move on from Giannis this offseason, and if Giannis stays, we got to kill it. No more of this. It's been 11 years of you guys trying to get him out of my sweet little city. And this is the first time that it ever makes sense to have the conversation. And if he stays still, then we all need to quit on it. So that's the Giannis conversation that many people are having today. Now, there's a completely different conversation that we could have been having today, as John Halliburton, Tyrese's father, who had a baseline seat, then ran up to Giannis after the game with a towel in hand that had Tyrese's face on it. Giannis just stood there. What is the landscape like if Giannis would have clocked that guy? Because John Halliburton just went up. His son makes a great play to win the series. Great moment. And the first thing you're thinking of is getting in Giannis's face. Giannis last night explained what was said between Halliburton and himself.
Coming in the floor and showing me his son a towel with his face. This is what we do. This is what we effing do. This the F we do. This, I feel like that's very, very disrespectful.
Now, the Halliburtons are from Wisconsin, so there are some ties, and there is a station in Milwaukee, TV station, TMJ4, that thinks they made this big exclusive because they've gotten in, and they're trying to, like, do PR work for John Halliburton. They're heavily touting that, hey, we got John Halliburton on our airwaves. Look at us. And they're trying to help him tell his side of the story, where he says, oh, actually, I did not swear.
It might have seemed like I was looking at him, but I really wasn't. I was looking through him. That's right. How I was in the moment. I know it looked like we were looking, like I was staring him down, you know, but it wasn't like that. It was in right. The moment, as if I was looking right through him. And yes, I had the banner in my hand going, and I was yelling, yay, yay, yay. Giannis never said anything to me. I never said anything to Giannis. There was right. no back and forth.
So now we're trying to soften him up here and say, oh, he actually didn't say anything. You know, he's being perceived as somebody that was swearing, and now he's doing, like, some PR cleanup. I actually wasn't swearing. The interesting thing about that is that none of that is relevant. I don't care what the conversation was. I don't care if you went out there and started singing the ABCs. You went out there. That's the conversation. You, a fan, went out on the court and got up in front of an opposing player. It's worse because you're the dad of the star player who made the big shot, and rather than celebrate your son's success, you decided to do whatever you did, stare through him, just say yay. A grown man with a towel looking at another NBA player, he may say a lot of things. Way down the list in dead last is yay, yay, yay. So this, hey, John Halliburton, actually, you shouldn't go to another playoff game, dude. Because what if Giannis retaliated? What happens then? Yeah, Giannis kept his cool. You put him in an impossible situation, and he succeeded. Because you were somewhere where you weren't supposed to be. Last night, you apologized. Last night, your son said, hey, that ain't good. Good, that was all good. Now, none of this. Take your loss. Take your shame. And if you do go to a game, upper deck for you, sir. Upper deck for you. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. Very interesting game between the Rockets and Warriors. Rockets do get the win, extend the series. We'll fill you in on what happened there in a little bit. Timberwolves and Lakers getting started here as well. That series could end. J.J. Redick doing J.J. Redick things earlier tonight. Some hockey going on. Washington advancing over Montreal. So a very busy night, and we've still got a lot of good NFL draft to recap, which we'll do with Russell Brown. He analyzes the draft for our friends at Fantasy Pros. He'll join us coming up. 888-710-4ISN. This is The Bart Winkler Show.
It's The Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is The Bart Winkler Show. I am Bart Winkler. I am just responding to an email. There is a woman in Minnesota that invited me to a land walk. I believe she's in real estate. And it was an Evite, and I was like, this is whatever. And now I got a personal email, and I'm writing her back. I'm saying, I know you won't believe this, but I believe you have the wrong Bart Winkler. So that's fun. It is the Bart Winkler Show. I am the Bart Winkler that I hope you are looking for. Carlos Ortiz alongside and joining us, Russell Brown. You can follow him, Russ NFL Draft. You can find his work, Betting Pros, Fantasy Pros. Does some work with the Lions Wire. We'll get into that. Russ, thanks for your time. Obviously, I mean, it doesn't matter if I start with or in the middle or end, but there's got to be a Shedeur Sanders question as a part of this. How surprised were you with the fall that he had? I mean, it was a fall. I thought at one point it was going to be a team like Buffalo or Kansas City or Philly that would end up taking him. So not only was it surprising that he fell, if teams view him as a backup, but then he goes to a team that already took a quarterback in this draft. It's just a very messy situation that is about as messy of a landing spot now as Shedeur could have landed in.
How you guys doing? You guys got me?
Hey, yeah, Russ Brown. Hey, Carlos, did we get new equipment in the last 24 hours, or what's going on? We good? All right. He's talking to other people. I was asking basically a question about Shedeur Sanders. How surprised are you? How do you think it works in Cleveland?
Yeah, really interesting fall, right? I mean, it was one of those where it felt like Shedeur could go somewhere in the first round, obviously. He earned a second round grade through the film process on my board, but I thought for sure we'd see him in the second or third round if he fell out of the first round. And yeah, just a weird fall. One of those where I don't know if it was necessarily the league essentially kind of flexing their muscles in a sense. I don't believe they all sat in a room and had a big powwow and said, hey, we're going to force this guy to fall in the draft process. But it did feel like essentially the league was kind of sending a message of like, you're not going to humble yourself through the process. You feel like you're going to dictate where you may end up playing. Newsflash, it changes a little bit in the NFL. So just a weird thing that has happened through this process for Shador. And I think he lands in a spot that gives him an opportunity to play, maybe not right away, but at some point, maybe through his rookie season, he may end up playing just because of how interesting that quarterback room is in Cleveland with Kenny Pickett, Joe Flacco, Dylan Gabriel, and obviously Deshaun Watson. Then you've got Shador in the mix. So it'll be interesting. I think, though, you know, like I said, this is a good spot for him because he can play at some point. And he gets to work with Kevin Stefanski, as we know, is you know, I don't want to say a quarterback guru, but his offense is quarterback friendly. So if Shador can humble himself a little bit and stay focused on kind of the prize of being a good teammate, a good player, and learning that offense, it could end up working for both sides.
Talking NFL draft on the Bart Winkler Show with Russell Brown. So he goes to a place, Shador does, where they already took a quarterback in the third round in Dylan Gabriel, and that could have been an interesting spot to talk about what future chances he might have there. I know that this quarterback draft, when we look back at it, won't be as good as next year's draft, most likely, and some other drafts that we've seen in the past. Outside of Cam Ward and the two quarterbacks in Cleveland, is there a situation that you like for one of these guys? Jackson Dart may sit for a while. Tyler Shuck may be forced to play right away in New Orleans. Jalen Milroe kind of seems like a development thing. Will Howard, I mean, is on a Steelers team that probably is going to have Rodgers at some point. Is there anybody that you think is prime for success, or these are all just maybe placeholders for the next time?
It could be placeholders, right? I mean, each one of these guys. I was not a fan of this quarterback class. I've been pretty adamant of that through the process. But at the end of the day, I mean, just looking at potential fits, I am intrigued with Jackson Dart and what he'll be able to do in New York with Brian Daboll. I would have to imagine, you know, that they stick that out with both the head coach and general manager in New York. But Dart gets an opportunity to learn a little bit from Russell Wilson, Jameis Winston. He doesn't have to be thrown into the fire right away. And I know some people say that's the best way to learn. We've seen more quarterbacks have success when they play right away. With Dart, I think he goes into a landing spot with Malik Nabers, and trying to build that offense around now essentially Dart is the way to go. And I like that he gets a little bit of time because each one of these quarterbacks needed a little bit of time. You know, just kind of throwing a random one out there for folks. Curtis Rourke from Indiana going to San Francisco in the 7th round. I know it's a 7th round quarterback, but this was a player that had he not torn his ACL, I think we would have talked about a little bit more through the draft process. But he goes to a spot where we've seen success with quarterbacks. I know Brock Purdy's a little bit of an odd one, but if Curtis Rourke gets an opportunity to play, I think it could be one that surprises quite a few different people. So I thought that was an interesting one in the 7th round. But overall, I mean, it's going to be a tough quarterback class. I think a lot of these guys are going to get opportunities to play. But the one that is the most intriguing outside of Cam Ward at the top is Jackson Dart going to the New York Giants.
Quarterback's obviously always a big topic of conversation, but there was, 255 guys drafted in this thing. When you've taken a look at it with what you thought might happen, with what you thought teams might need, with what you thought teams should do, was there a couple of teams that stood out that you really did like their drafts? And were there a couple of teams that you were kind of left scratching your head a little bit, or, hey, they must know something better than we do because I got some questions?
Yeah, well, I mean, the one draft that immediately stands out is just the San Francisco 49ers. The first 5 picks were spent on revamping the defense. 3 of those 5 were on the defensive line. 2 of them with interior defenders, C.J. West from Indiana, Alfred Collins from Texas. Alfred Collins, he's got some really interesting tape. There are some really consistent flashes, and then there's a lot of inconsistency where it doesn't look like he knows how to, like, put his hands and his feet and everything together. But there's tools to had, and if he can put it together, I think San Francisco's the right spot. I think Michael Williams is a great player opposite of Nick Bosa in that defense. I really like Jordan Watkins for them in the fourth round. I've had this question that I've presented to people. Would you rather have Matthew Golden from Texas, as we saw, go to the Packers in the first round, or would you rather have Jordan Watkins from Ole Miss on day three of the draft? I felt like Jordan Watkins and Matthew Golden played the game in a very similar way. So I think Watkins going to San Francisco to pair with Brock Purdy and the weapons that they have of Kittle and Ayuk and so on, I think it's a great landing spot for Jordan Watkins. And just from top to bottom, I like what they did. Another team that, you know, I liked through the draft process is Denver. I mean, to get Jahdae Barron at 20, the addition of R.J. Harvey, the running back from UCF, he's going to have a bigger role than I think people think. Q. Robinson, Savion Jones from LSU, both these guys are pass rushers that have a lot of juice that I think make sense for what they're trying to do. And I think that these guys could have roles right away. So I like what they did revamping that defense and adding to it. You can't go wrong there when you're playing in a division that features Patrick Mahomes and the players that are there. But teams that I just kind of question a little bit, you know, I look at Dallas to a degree. You know, I like a lot of the players that they added, you know, Siobhan Revelle, Donovan Azaraku, Tyler Booker. These are solid players, but Tyler Booker in the first round as a guard, I mean, you're going to need him to play right away. He's going to have to play at a dominant level. Can he do that? I'm not necessarily sure what direction they're going with the running back room. I like Jaden Blue, but he's more of a, I think, a complement to a number one back, and they don't have that number one back there. So just really intrigued with what they're doing. And then I will say, I know we talked about Cleveland a little bit. I will say trading away the opportunity to take Travis Hunter to then take Mason Graham, I thought was a little bit of a head scratcher, because no matter what Mason Graham does from here on out for the rest of his career, he will be compared to Travis Hunter.
You do work with the Lions Wire. You're very involved and know a lot about them. What did you think about their draft? They traded up for a receiver that I know that they liked. I don't know where he was on other players' boards. Tried to fill in some pieces. You know, when you're the Lions and you're close, you kind of have the luxury of drafting for specific needs, some of these teams at the end of the rounds, rather than best player available all the time. What did you think of Detroit's draft?
I'm probably biased, but I like what they did, because they got players that fit who they are as a culture, that they got players that they needed. And it just, every single piece by piece in this draft, somehow they have the makeup from a physical standpoint, from what they do on film to position of where they play, it fits Detroit to a T. And I think, you know, you look at Tyleek Williams, people are like, well, you've got DJ Reader, Aleem McNeil. Aleem McNeil might not be ready for the first month of the season, if not a little bit longer. You get a guy that can be a plug and play three tech at the NFL level. He can replace Reader down the road when he's a free agent at the end of the year. I love that selection. Tate Ratledge and Miles Frazier, the guards, I think that these guys bring guard tackle flexibility. I really think Miles Frazier could get reps at center if needed. His first step quickness is really impressive. You mentioned the receiver, Isaac Tesla. He's different from what they have on the roster because he's younger. He's got some size to him at 6'3", 215 pounds. He ran a 4.3 40 at the combine. He can get, you know, up to 19, 20 yards of catch. He's shown that at Arkansas. So I like his fit and his development within the system, because Tim Patrick is an injury-prone receiver. Khalif Raymond has been an injury-prone receiver. It fits. The same thing with Dan Jackson from Georgia, the safety. He's going to have a bigger role than I think people think. He can be a buzz safety, which they like. They like those defenders that can buzz down, play in the box. They can play zone, man, cover tight ends. And, of course, they got to come up and tackle, and I think Dan Jackson does it. So I like every single pick that they have, whether they're going to play right away or not. To me, that doesn't matter, because to your point, this is a kind of a ready-made roster. They don't have a lot of holes, and they're trying to capitalize on the now. And I think that these are players that can help them now.
One more for you, just from you know, a team perspective, obviously, but a fantasy perspective too. Ashton Jeanty and the Raiders. I mean, he's going to go like number one in these dynasty redrafts, as he should. What kind of year should we expect, ceiling and floor, for a guy who, you know, I don't know that he is, you know, Marshawn Lynch, but in Pete Carroll's offense, he will be used like a Marshawn Lynch, I would think.
I would agree with you. I think this is a guy that's going to see easily north of 250 touches in year one. They're going to feed him the football, and it makes sense. This was the worst rushing attack in the NFL last year. They've got, obviously, a focus on running the football, and with Geno Smith there, that should help. Because he should be a little bit more consistent as a passer, and that should extend drives, and that should give more opportunities to Ashton Jeanty. And I like what they did throughout the entire draft. I mean, Jack Fetch is a great addition to that offense. He's going to complement, the pieces that they already have there, and he could easily be the featured guy as a second-round receiver. I love the two offensive tackles they drafted, Caleb Rogers, Charles Grant. That's going to help lead the way for Ashton Jeanty. Those pieces, the little things like that are going to go a long way for an offense that needed this revamp and this retooling. And the featured prize, the featured presentation is Ashton Jeanty, but they did a really good job filling a lot of holes and a lot of needs and adding good football players. It was a step in the right direction under Pete Carroll and this new regime there in Las Vegas. I can't wait to see what Ashton Jeanty does. I thought he was a top three player in this draft, clearly the number one back. It's a great draft for the Raiders. And when you look at it, I mean, we could be talking about Ashton Jeanty for quite a while.
We had to wait several months for it. Now we got to wait several more months to see these guys in action, but it will be worth it, as it always is. Russell Brown, thank you so much for your time. We will look to do it again.
Absolutely, guys. Appreciate it.
Russell Brown, draft analyst with Fantasy Pros, Betting Pros, and you can find his work at The Lions Wire as well. We thank him for his time. 888-710 for ISN, 888-710-4476. If I throw to an update, Carlos, are you going to be able to make that happen or what? You okay, bud?
Yes.
Any other comments?
So I just had the biggest brain fart in the world. I was screening calls when I probably shouldn't have been screening calls. And by screening calls, I'm like, hey, guys, give me a second. And I wound up punching up Johnny from Atlanta instead of the guest. And I'm like, why do I hear Johnny? And I'm like, oh, crap. So that's what happened. I did cut it out of the podcast feed, but thanks for reminding everybody so they could just hear it later.
Oh, you can cut while we're on like this?
I am a wizard. I can do anything back here in this spaceship.
I didn't know that when I would cut podcasts here down in Hicksburg, Milwaukee, we had to wait till the end of the hour for the audio to load on the logger.
No, real time. I get it right here. I'm looking at this exact audio wave that my voice is making right now. Another squiggly
clip
line.
Clip this part too, and it'll be like it never, ever happened.
Yeah, I'm just going to leave it.
Okay. Well, here is an update. God willing, from Marco Belletti.
The biggest moments in the games.
Tatum, two dribbles with the right, hangs in the air, runs it off the window and in.
The biggest voices in sports.
Towns fires away. Bang! Carl Anthony Towns from downtown.
The heartbreak.
Grabbing his left knee. He's in some severe pain.
The celebrations.
But it's no longer what could be or what might be. Now it just is. The 2024 Boston Celtics are one of the greatest teams in NBA history.
It's the audio of the day. It's the Bulletin Blitz.
That's right. It's the Bulletin Blitz here on the Bart Winkler Show. Coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. It is Wednesday, April 30th, 2025.
You know what someone just said to me?
Yes.
Someone just said to me online that I'm the worst dude to ever touch a microphone, and he would rather bathe in a pool of urine than listen to me.
Is it the same guy that requested $5 from you on Venmo?
No, that was a funny guy. This guy, you know, if you're going to say this comment, I assume you're no longer listening, but you have to bathe in urine then. You said you would.
We need proof.
Would you rather? You have to bathe in urine now, and you need proof. And bathe. You're not just peeing like, I'll put some pee on me. You want a tub of pee now, sir. So you got to do it. Don't say you'd rather and then not do it. You need to be bathing in pee if you're not going to listen to me. That's what you said you would do. Go ahead.
So it would probably behoove you to listen to the show or have pee on you. I mean, your choice. I don't care. Let's go to probably the most competitive series in the NBA in the first round that no one really cares about. It's odd. Denver is winning 3-2. They beat the Clippers yesterday, 131-115. Big contributions from Jamal Murray. He was 17 of 26 shooting, including 8 from 14 beyond the arc. Here's Jamal Murray on what led to his 43-point outburst.
Just glad we got a win, man, to be honest with you. You know, shots are going to miss, they're going to make. I'm still going to play my game, still going to be aggressive. You know, I'm still going to shoot the shots that I shoot. But like I said, it was a big team win. You know, guys are setting good screens. Guys are running the floor. Guys are being unselfish and passing the ball and vice versa. So I just thought everybody was in a really good rhythm tonight. And you know, that was a big reason why we got the win. Everybody's playing with confidence.
I don't know why there's not more juice for this. It is a good series. It's two good teams. It's a series that we thought would be the most compelling. I just think that you've got other star brands going at it, and for whatever reason, Clippers and the Nuggets aren't as marquee as the other ones. Now, tonight's action, two marquee games, the Rockets beating the Warriors, so that series is extended, and the Timberwolves right now up 31-24 on Los Angeles. If Los Angeles loses, they won't play again until next season, so a lot on the line, couple elimination games tonight, Houston advancing, and, you know, I don't care if you think that I'm bad, but there's so many people worse than me. Like, there's so many people worse than me.
I need
to say you'd rather bathe in pee is, you're a stupid person. You are a stupid person. You don't, why do we get to breathe the same air? Honestly. Why does this bother me so much? I don't know. He got to me.
Because like me, you're vain and we both look for approval and praise. I don't get enough of it, and neither do you. Neither do we as a show. We need to start naming names and dropping F-bombs like a certain person on a four-letter network. Let's go to another series that also
HGTV?
Got extended.
HGTV?
Yeah, big time. I mean, it's definitely not the UPN network. That's three letters. The Pistons staved off elimination. The Knicks had a chance to eliminate them yesterday. Detroit said, nigh. So now we head back to Detroit in order for to get a game six going on. Cade Cunningham, 24 points, 8 rebounds, 8 assists. You know, he's doing his thing. Knicks really just in crunch time, really choked. But JB Bickerstaff explains why the Pistons have been so good on the road, considering they took a couple from MSG already.
Our guys, as crazy as it sounds, like they feed off of it, right? Like they feed off the energy of the opponent's crowd. They embrace the chaos, and they're comfortable there. And not everybody is that way, right? Some people need the support of their home crowd and those types of things, but, like, our guys embrace the chaos, and they're extremely comfortable and can play their best.
Knicks and the Pistons tomorrow, and then the Clippers and the Nuggets as the nightcap. I think Detroit's playing great. They obviously are upset about how game five ended or four ended, but I think the Knicks close it out. I know they got to be on the road, but I don't think that this series goes seven. If it does, major credit to Detroit and major questions for New York. I think the Tom Thibodeau thing, if they don't get past Boston, I mean, at some point we can't keep running these guys into the ground forever, and we always knew it would end this way, but I think it's probably got to end.
Oh, yeah. Listen, I have no faith that the Knicks are going to beat Boston. It's almost a fait accompli. Thibodeau is going to get fired. He's going to lose his job. And it is what it is. You can't get, you know, so many second-round exits and expect to keep your position as the head coach. Let's go one more here. Here's Joe Mazzulla. His Boston Celtics closed out the Orlando Magic yesterday in really just lopsided fashion. Gentlemen sweep. 120-89, your final score there. Jason Tatum, I'm sure he, you know, reads the comments. He hears that he's been a backpack on the Olympic team, backpacking on that Celtics run last year to get them a championship. Well, he led all scorers with 35 points. Joe Mazzulla said he really liked the way that Tatum played.
He did a good job of understanding how they were defending. Every team has different strengths and weaknesses. Every team guards us differently. I thought the regular season gave us tremendous data on the different ways that we were going to be defended and what that looks like. And so He did a great job of staying patient, going through his progressions, whether it was him screening in the first couple games, him handling the last few games, and then this game, in the third quarter, his play there. So at the end of the day, every game is different. Every team is different. You'd have to be ready to answer the call, play solution-oriented basketball, and I thought he did that.
I've been hard on playoff Jason Tatum, saying he's a Peyton Pritchard merchant or a Derek White or Al Horford merchant. He only had 17 points, 1 for 8 from 3 in game 1. Then he was hurt for game 2 but came back. And since, he's averaged 36 points a night. And if the Celtics are going to succeed, I want them to succeed with Jason Tatum being the top dog. Jaylen Brown won the MVP the year that they won the championship last year. This should be Tatum's team. And so, yeah, Jaylen Brown's a great player. And they've got as good of a complement of a starting five as anybody is in the league, and they can go a little deep on you. But this has to be Jason Tatum's team. That's how it's been built. That's how he's built it. That's how it needs to be if the Celtics are going to be this good. 888-710-4ISN will come on back. Jeff Albrecht, find that and more next.
Thank you for listening to The Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.